Welcome to the final episode of the Are You Okay podcast. Well done if you've stuck with us this far. Now, in this last episode, we'll be discussing the limitations of the initial study we conducted, and we'll also each share our ideas for the research that could come next.
The most apparent limitation to the initial study is the relatively low number of participants. So despite our best attempts, the number of participants recruited was lower than anticipated, with only 15 interviews with supervisors completed. Ideally, we would have recruited a wider and more varied pool of participants, and this would have given us a bigger data set to analyse.
Although it did appear that data saturation was reached, as observed from the richness of the data which we analysed, this was enabled by the depth of the discussion through the conversation and visual mapping techniques that Sally used to interview our participants.
However, amongst those who did participate in the interviews, there was an overrepresentation from one of the research team institutions. And this is perhaps because people are more likely to respond to invitations from a research associate from their own university. There's also a limited number of participants from new universities, with most of the supervisors working at that classic red brick university.
A more fundamental bias may come from the type of supervisors who were likely to respond to the invitation to participate. Many of those who signed up were well-being leads or had previously worked in similar roles where there was an inherent focus on mental well-being of PhD students. These individuals are more likely to be aware of the issues that PhD students face and are likely to see the early signs of such issues arising and be aware of how to deal with them best. Other supervisors who do not have that experience may not be in such a position to provide support and to help the PhD students in those cases.
And although this hypothesis was not tested, it is possible that people who were already more attuned to the PGR well-being and to the requirements of good supervision practice were more likely to participate. So the sample should not be considered representative of all supervisors. I think it's fair to say that their natural inclination to support their PGR's well-being somehow encourages them to share with us their views on this matter. They told us what worked, what did not, the interconnections between seemingly separate issues, as well as ways forward, not only for the doctoral community, but for those who are supporting our doctoral communities.
So we do have more work to do to expand our understanding of how supervisors support stressed PGRs and the support they need to look after themselves as they do so. Moving into the next phase of the research, one issue to potentially explore is the use of well-being tools in the supervisory process and what impact these have on both the students and their supervisors. In this project, we developed a student well-being sheet, which is a way of charting the ups and downs of a PhD, and this is available to download from our website. It would be really interesting to find out how this is used in practice with either international or home PGR students.
For me, the obvious next steps are finding different ways in which the doctoral scholars themselves can support each other. I know that there are already a lot of academic-related activities going on in many universities to support our doctoral scholars' continuing development as researchers. In addition to this, it would be really interesting to see more activities merely for promoting social connections, or fun activities that promote and build friendships, where participation is likely to lift each other emotionally and promote psychological wellness. Exploring this dimension of doctoral activities would be my next research project wish, I'd say.
That sounds really interesting, Deli. I think for me as a health service researcher, I'm really keen to explore the barriers and facilitators of how international students at both postgraduate master's level and postdoctoral researcher level experience accessing mental health services. Those ones not just delivered by the university, but also ones provided by the National Health Service, the NHS.
For me, one of the more interesting elements that needs exploring is the diversity of doctoral journeys and exploring the levels of well-being and issues prevalent in different doctoral contexts. I'm particularly interested in elements of peer support and those contexts in where there may be a high level of peer support, such as large research groups or lab-based research, versus those where there might be very low levels of peer support, where you have isolated doctoral students in the field or studying part-time, and also issues around practice doctorates and professional doctorates, and to see whether or not the issues that arise there are similar to those that we've already identified or different.
I'm most interested in PGRs who leave their doctorates before completion due to feeling unsupported with their mental health. I'd particularly like to speak to this group, find out what's happened to them and how they worked either with or around their supervisors, and find out what was lacking in their experience, how they made that decision to leave. So between us, it looks like there's plenty to do next in order to keep us all busy. And once we get into the next phases of our work together, we'll continue this podcast and keep building our findings into new resources on the Supervisor Toolkit. Please do go and take a look at the resources we've already created for you. Chris referred to one earlier. And your comments, ideas, and feedback are all really welcome. Thank you then for listening, and goodbye for now from the Are You OK team.